We get the hour underway by welcoming back to the program from 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, Ty Anderson with us. Ty, welcome back.
Hey, Rich, how's it going?
Going very well today, and I'm happy to say that against your better judgment, you've agreed to be our primary Bruins guy here for this coming season. Very excited that we'll get to talk with you on a much more frequent basis.
Yeah, it didn't take a lot of negotiating, but here we are. It's good. It's always pleasant talking with you guys, and happy to do it for however long this season goes. It could be 4 months, could be 6 months. Who knows?
Well, we're on the cusp of the start of the season now, and I guess the least unexpected news was Patrice Bergeron being named captain.
Yeah, this was a long time coming. This was, Marchand joked about it. This has sort of been 10 years in the making, it feels. It's great to see the C on his jersey finally. It's a long time coming. I don't think much changes in terms of the leadership dynamic. He's a very similar leader to Zdeno Chara in terms of how he conducts himself and how he prepares for games and leads by example versus, yelling and whatnot. But I do think it's a nice honor for him, and you're going to see the A's sort of remain the same in the sense that it's going to be Marchand and Krejci, two guys who had A's last year. So not much changes for them. But a great honor for a great player who is past due in terms of deserving this sort of recognition.
Five players are placed on waivers today. Any surprises in that group?
No, not really. I think it was sort of the group I expected to see on waivers. This is going to be their taxi squad, I would imagine, if all these guys clear. This would be the traveling party, so to speak, that will remain in Boston, train with the team, and be used if there's a COVID outbreak or they just want to get a guy in here for a game or two. This lineup seems to make the most sense for me. You have two young guys and three veterans. The veterans being Greg McKegg, Steve Kampfer, and Paul Carey, whereas the younger guys are Anton Blee, who missed most of training camp, and Zach Senyshyn, a first-round pick in 2015, who is still kind of learning what he is as a pro. So I don't see these guys – I don't see any of them leaving via waivers. I maybe Senyshyn's, and maybe someone takes a chance on him. But I think these guys clear, and this is your taxi squad when things get real later this week.
Hopes were high in this area that former Maine Black Bear Ben Hutton might end up signing with the Bruins, but it looks like he's headed west instead.
Yeah, I think once the Bruins got a look at their young left-shot defenseman, it sort of negated the need for a Ben Hutton. Zboril's had a good camp. He's probably going to make the open night roster. Jurovac and I had a great camp as well. Jeremy Lauzon is sort of slid himself into place there, the top pairing guy. So I think once those guys went through the motions here and earned a spot in most cases, I think they realized they didn't need to bring him in. And I think the other part of it, too, is that maybe it would have contradicted themselves a little bit had they gone out and signed him after saying that they couldn't sign Chara because they were going with a youth movement. So I think it was a little bit of everything, but I think the emergence of those young players has prevented that from happening.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. You had a very interesting piece on Tuukka Rask and his future, and he would like that future to be as a Boston Bruin.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go anywhere besides here, and I think that really makes sense. He said this for a while now, but I think now it's a contract year, so now it's, all right, let's see if that's the case. So I think that he wants to play for about two or three more years. I don't think that he wants another five-year deal, seven-year deal, whatever the case may be at the end of the season. I think that he knows that the end is near for him in terms of his effectiveness as a starting goaltender. So I think he wants to be here on another two- or three-year deal. I would compare it to the Pekka Rinne deal, right, down in Nashville. Pekka Rinne was at the end of his massive contract where he made $7 million, and then he signed an extension for, I believe, it was 2 years and $10 million total. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's something similar here for the Bruins and Rask. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they wait and see how things play out here, given the uncertainty of their own cap situation, the league as a whole, and beyond.
Some exciting news off the ice for David Pastrnak.
Yeah, this is great. And he and his girlfriend are going to welcome their first child soon. It's going to be a boy. I loved the video. I don't know if you saw the video, but it was great. They were popping off the confetti, almost like a best of seven. They had four blue and three pink. And pink was up 3-1, and you're like, oh, it's going to be a girl. And then, boom, you get three straight blues, and, a baby boy wins in seven. So it's a cool moment for him, and it's kind of crazy because, I think of him as a kid. He's still only 24 years old, and now he's going to be a dad. So Pretty cool moment for him and his girlfriend, and very excited for them.
So as we close in on opening night, is there anything that's left to be determined? What are the major decisions that still have to be made before then?
They need to figure out who's going to sort of, I would say, get that defensive mix. Who's going to be slotted where? You know, we've seen Jeremy Lauzon and Jacob Zboril skate with Charlie McAvoy in the top pairing. I think that's going to be Lozon's role. I want to see how Kevin Miller handles the start of the season. Missed two years, basically, of hockey. So how does he look? You know, it looks like he's going to be playing out of the gate. So I want to see how this lineup looks in terms of the roles and whatnot. But the big thing for me is, can this second line get going, right? This second line with Andre Kasha and Jake DeBrusk with David Krejci, they were together last year in the playoffs, and they had a great series against Carolina, but didn't really have it in the second round against Tampa. So I want to see them get on the board with some goals here. I want to see how they look out of the gate. But beyond that, I think that it's really just about making the most of these games here while you have Marchand recovering. He might play. We think he's going to play out of the gate. And David Pastrnak, who we think will be back in about 2 to 3 weeks. So you just really want to maximize, you know, their absences, potential absences with Marchand. You want to see if you can get on a little streak here and stay above water. You don't want to get off to the gate with 1-4, you know, 2-6. You really need to sort of stay above 500 as best you can with the shortened season.
How do you think the new divisional alignments might impact the Bruins?
So this is interesting. So I think that you look at the division, and the Bruins were pretty good against these teams a year ago. Now, obviously, they have their own sort of rivalry teams they struggle with, the Capitals being chief among them. But, you know, Braden Holtby's gone now. Now he's in Vancouver. He was the biggest pull. But I look at these other teams, and I look at how they beefed up their power play. Pittsburgh brought back an assistant coach who used to run their power play when they were number one. Peter Laviolette's an up-tempo coach who is going to coach the Caps now, and we know how he gets results in his first year. You know, the Rangers are on the rise as well. The Islanders play a tough game. So I look at that, and I look at the Bruins' losses on the PK with Nordstrom and with Chara mainly, and that's my big concern. You know, if that penalty kill struggles, they might struggle against these teams. But I think overall, their system should lead to some good matchups against these teams. So I think they'll be okay. It's just really about the details and about if these changes that they made and that other teams made make the difference at the end of the day.
Ty, who are a couple of candidates from your perspective as we get ready to start the year to be the most surprising guys this season?
I think Craig Smith will surprise people. And I think he'll surprise people in the sense that maybe they weren't aware of him when he was in Nashville. He was on the third liner for the Preds. We don't see a ton of Preds hockey, you know, here in New England, he's a good player. You know, he might challenge for, you know, second line sort of production there with Charlie Coyle. And if that happens, they'll be a great team. I just think that's a signing that went under the radar. You know, talking to people around the league and involved with teams, they said that's a great one. You know, they think he's going to be a good fit for the Bruins. So I think he'll surprise because people don't know who he is. But in terms of younger players, I've always been a big fan of Carson Kuhlman. He's going to start the year on the outside looking in, it looks like, but he has a high motor, high energy kind of player. If you give him a role in that bottom six somewhere, I think he could make a difference. But he's got the numbers game working against him. Those are two players that I think could make a difference for you if given a chance here, a chance in terms of playing in the case of Kuhlman here in a short season.
Is there anything, as we look at the struggles they're having early in the season, is there anything the NHL can learn from the NBA in terms of a COVID-19 preparedness and protocols?
Well, I think one difference that I've noticed with the NHL is that these road trips are going to be pretty brutal for players. And I say that because they can't leave the hotel. They touch down in the city. They go from their team charter to the hotel, and that's where they stay. They're not allowed to go out. They're not allowed to. They can't order takeout from certain places. You know, like that. Like, the league has really cracked down on what these guys allowed to do. And I think that's a little bit different than the NBA and the NFL, obviously. So I think that's one thing they have right. One thing they can do, of course, is understand that their schedules need to be flexible, right? And I was surprised that when the league announced its schedule, that there weren't more sort of just off days, right? Where days where you could say, okay, well, if there's a breakout, we need to move this a week. We need to move this, you know, here and there. So that's one thing that they didn't do that I think we're going to have to see eventually happen is you're going to have makeup dates and you're going to have teams that can't play for a while. But in terms of getting the season off on the right foot, I feel like the NHL has done a great job here of basically saying to players, hey, sorry, this stinks, but you're going to have to be in the hotel for the entire trip.
Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Hey, Ty, appreciate it as always. I feel like we're ready for the start of the season now. We look forward to checking in with you on a regular basis. So we'll let them get going, and then we'll visit with you a couple of Mondays from today.
Awesome. Sounds great. Can't wait.
All right. Thanks, Ty. Ty Anderson here on Downtown.